Welcome to the Dumb Weeps Podcast. I am your host, V-Lord GTZ, and with me I have my fellow weebs. First up, we have J-Mac.
I have returned. I feel like I've been in weeb jail for weeks.
Yeah, we finally decided to free you. How does it feel to be a free-flowing weeb?
I'll never fall behind on a book again.
Yeah, that is the code of the weebs. You must always be caught up.
Yeah.
And our other weeb with us is Laser Kid.
Hello, I'm a good laser zap.
Yeah. Luckily, Laser's also alive. I think, like, we murdered him at some point, but we found a way to bring him back to life.
Okay, I die and regenerate all the time in this podcast. That's just normal.
Apparently.
It's like he's a slime or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And our last weeb with us is Allison.
I am here because it's slime time, bitches.
Yeah, I guess it is. We have to get in some gooey little fun.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
I don't think that phrasing was good enough. We need to go deeper.
I mean, honestly,
deeper inside.
Phrasing. But yes, if you haven't figured it out, today's episode is the long-ass title that has been lovingly condensed to Re-Slime.
Yes, that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
My favorite anime of 2 years ago.
Honestly, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend it.
If you haven't seen it yet, why are you listening to this podcast? Stop listening to this podcast and go watch it, dang it.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend that. Yeah, I mean, especially since we're probably going to end up talking about spoilers.
Almost guaranteed.
So, yeah.
Is season 2 out yet?
Not
it
yet.
Comes out in January.
I am hyped beyond imagining for that.
Mm-hmm. So, Re-Slime is a show about, it's an isekai about a guy who gets stabbed by a runny knife stabby dude. He
for
dies.
No apparent reason. I am going to attack someone randomly with a knife and then run away!
He dies and finds himself in this magical new world, but he is a slime, but he has superpowers as this slime.
Yeah, like, they kind of have, like, a class, like, system for, like, the slime, Rimuru. And, like, the whole thing is, like, he gains all these different abilities by, like, just absorbing, like, eating things. So, like, the first episode's pretty interesting, like, how Rimuru initially can't really see anything, and, like, you see him gaining all these, like, powers and senses just by, like, absorbing things around him.
Yeah, he was eating, like, the plants and crystals in there that it turns out were necessary ingredients for health and stuff. And magic.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because, like, let's face it, like, the premise itself, just on the bare bones of, like, oh, someone gets shanked, they're dead, reincarnated, that's been done, like, 50 million times. But I think what makes it unique is just, like, getting reincarnated into, like, a non-human body that isn't even humanoid at all. It's, like, literally, like, a blob, a slime.
Yeah.
So, like, immediately, I think it stands out just because of that. And I think the series does a very good job of kind of showing, like, hey, yeah, like, being a slime is very different from being a human. You have those, cool little slime perks, but it's a very different type of life.
Yeah, and one of the first things he absorbs is, like, this thing that can absorb other things. Like,
oh, yeah.
One of the first things he analyzes or something. And so then he's able to, like, just absorb all the crystals in the cave. And then it turns out there's this, like, ancient fucking dragon that they're keeping in the cave. Who's
God,
been sealed there.
Veldora is the funniest
character. Veldora is a blessing.
And so this is a magical barrier that can't be broken, but Rimuru manages to just wrap himself around the whole barrier and absorbs it into him so that his body can get to work on, like, analyzing the barrier and figuring out a way to break through it. And that's kind of the premise of the rest. Like, that kind of becomes the B plot to the rest of the story.
Rimuru vores a dragon.
But it also is the catalyst to a lot of things that happen, because like all of a sudden all the nations everywhere are just like, holy shit, Veldora's gone.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty interesting. And like they do mention like, okay, a lot of this has kind of started being instigated because like Veldora's been sealed in this area and like he hasn't really been able to do anything. And yeah, it's a nice little segue into really like kind of the main meat of the series, where it's really Rimuru kind of establishing allies and then eventually a kingdom. And like every arc is kind of just focused on him like kind of gaining these new types of allies or venturing to these new places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice little changing lives.
Yeah, so it's a really nice little kind of adventure story. I mean, I don't want to necessarily go through every single plot point or anything, but like, were there any like real parts to the story that really kind of stuck out to you guys when you were going through
it? So what was interesting, so in this world, as it, and it's, you know, it plays it really well on the nose. If you have a name, you're important and you're more powerful. But being given a name is a big fucking deal. Like, it's like being given a name will expend the magic power of whoever gave you that name. Well, Rimuru comes across like everyone he comes across, he gives them a name. And like at the end of the day, it'll fucking exhaust him, but then he'll just like regenerate magic overnight and be ready the next day.
Yeah, I mean, essentially giving someone a name just turns them into like a Chad. Like the goblins become like super buff when they get named.
Oh my god, yeah. What strikes me is not any one specific instance, but continually throughout the entire show, every single group he encounters, it starts off one way where they're kind of hostile towards him, and then he basically Goku's his way through it by being like super nice and helpful, and then they end up becoming his friend. Over and over and over, he's just kind of wins by being a decent human being.
I feel like if he Goku'd his way through it, he'd fight them or try to eat them.
Well, I was referring to the way that Goku wins over people who are normally his enemies. I was making that comparison.
True. But yeah, no, like, there is a strong theme of kind of, I almost want to call it redemption and forgiveness throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, like, Rimuru himself is not really looking out for, like, a fight or anything. Like, he's kind of just, like, doing his own thing and kind of just making meaningful connections and helping people.
Yeah,
it's interesting because, like, it never really feels like the story has, like, super high stakes or anything, but, like, you're always kind of thinking, like, okay, how is Rimuru gonna help these people, or how are, like, his allies gonna, like, resolve this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Later over time, like, towards the end, there's some pretty crazy shit that goes down.
Yeah, definitely. But Allison, what did you think of like the series? What really stuck out to you?
To sum it up in a short format answer, first half was really hilarious and cool and type and dope. Second half, really slow and mid.
I don't know, I really like the second half.
The second half, yeah, the first half was definitely silly and dopey and just kind of fun. It had a few good emotional beats to it. But like, especially like when the human kingdoms were like, oh shit, the goblins are organizing into a city, you know.
The second half felt like a mid Assassination Classroom / Great Teacher Onizuka. They really should have switched it. Like, have the dumb school arc be first, then have the hype demon orc lizard man war arc second.
I feel like it worked the way it did because there was an escalation afterwards, and there was always some sort of escalation. Like when he was with the students, there was definitely a much bigger escalation of the conflict.
Yeah, but the students weren't great characters.
Well,
really mid.
I mean, I thought in like the whole like quote-unquote, great teacher Rimuru arc. I guess for me, like I do agree that, like, the children themselves weren't super interesting, but it was less that and more kind of, I feel, Rimuru's, like, connection to them and, like, the significance that they had.
Yeah,
because towards, like,
if they had that, I would watch Assassination Class or more.
Well, they had all been brought into that. The thing that differentiates them from Assassination Classroom, the massive thing, is they were all brought into this world against their will, and they are all temporary. And Rimuru is trying to find the cure so that they don't just disintegrate at age 12.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck about these no-name characters. I want to see Rimuru kick ass.
Well, and you do.
Yeah, but, like, I am just saying, the first half, dope. Second half, not dope. Season 2, probably gonna be dope, because all those cool bad guys showed up in that OVA episode, but... like, if you want to binge it, just wait till Season 2 comes out, so that way you don't have to deal with the disappointment second arc of the first season.
I'm still gonna have to heavily disagree there.
The majority opinions usually, in my experience, everyone loves the first half, and then the second half's kind of, it's pretty bad.
I've never seen anyone say the second half is pretty bad.
I've heard like people say like it's not
like
as interesting to them, but like
I've heard that.
Yeah, like it's. I thought like it has like genuine merit. It doesn't feel like it's just kind of like fluff
like,
yeah. Just for the sake of fluff. Like there's actual development.
There's also a payoff on setup from the first half, so it's not like it came out of nowhere either.
The thing go ahead.
It just felt like a waste of time. They could have just done something else that was cool, but instead they wasted it on another generic anime, high school, Harry Potter, Hogwarts ripoff arc.
Not really.
Every other that you see.
Don't think that's what this was doing.
Yeah. What I appreciate about that second half, yes, it was less, you know, super cool, kick-ass, Dragon Ball Z, shonen boy fight, win, hero, superpower. It's a shonen anime that was not really afraid to depart from the stereotypical shonen anime formula, where it's all about the protagonist beating the shit out of bad guys while everyone else just sits along the sidelines and stares on in awe. And it became something more than that at that point, where he had more reason to be there than to just kick ass and chew gum.
And I think, like, we're also kind of glossing over that, like, teaching part of the anime isn't even the entire second half. Like, there's a good portion that just focuses on, like, the introduction of, like, the demon lords, like, Maline.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I really love that stuff, because, like, it really expands kind of the scope of Slime. Like, you're starting to get enemies that are really kind of, like, on, like, Rimuru's level, and, like, he can't just kind of just tank his way through it.
Oh, and like the whole reason the teaching thing happens is, so there was this hero. She was the one destined to slay like the demon lord or whatever, I forget. Like throughout all history, the hero was summoned from another world to fight the big bad evil thing. The evil MacGuffin. And she dies. And to honor her, Rimuru absorbs her and gains her memories and body. Like Rimuru had gotten to know each other a little bit. And Rimuru learned that like she was taking care of these other kids who had been brought across from Earth, who basically were there and would just eventually disintegrate into basically mana. Once their mana was depleted. And the hero was trying to find a way to stop that from happening.
Yeah, Shizu's death kind of really surprised me, because, like, I went into the show blind, of course, and for years, like, I've seen, like, pictures from, like, the manga and the light novels where, like, Shizu's there on, like, promotional stuff, and I'm just assuming, okay, Shizu must be a main character.
Oh, yeah, no,
It was not what I expected either, but it was a really powerful scene for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it works really well. Like, I think, like, especially since Rimuru kind of partially takes on, like, the visage of Shizu after, like, absorbing her. Like, it definitely feels like they've kind of, like, Rimuru's carrying on Shizu's legacy in, like, more than just, like, a metaphorical way.
Yeah, and Rimuru's literally, like, uniting everyone at this point. Like, he's got the goblins, he's got these, like, not demon people. Like, they were, like, the... Gosh, I forget.
The orcs?
Yeah, the orcs.
The orcs.
Who became... All of them became sexy, even the guys.
You're thinking of the goblins.
No, the goblins were green.
Yes.
The goblins did not all become sexy. I'm talking about the ones who started looking like actual humans and had human skin.
Oh, the Kijin.
The Kijin, yeah, the Kijin.
Oh, yeah, the Kijin, yeah, the ogre people. Yeah, the orcs are like the pig people.
That's right. Yeah.
But also, just to kind of touch on it, like, the second half also involves that big battle with Charybdis, which is just
Charybdis, yeah.
Charybdis, I don't know why I always say that wrong. And that was also pretty intense, crazy stuff. Like, the great teacher, Rimuru, is like 4 episodes max.
Yeah, and then Charybdis happened. Like,
It is like, we end on, oh, hey, here's what happened with Shizu. Flashback.
I think, and what was interesting is every single enemy we beat, we get a fucking Demon Slayer moment for them as Rimuru absorbs them.
We really did.
I didn't think of that either, but you're totally right.
We are made to feel bad for every fucking single one of them. Because they've all been deceived by the demon lords.
Well, and there's this evil shadowy organization in the background pulling bullshit. We don't know much about them yet, but there's stuff going on for sure.
Mm-hmm. They'll probably expand on season 2.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of really interests me too, is that, like, yeah, the show has covered a lot of ground, but, like, there's still so much we don't know, and I think that's really cool. It's like, it just really kind of feels like Rimuru's in this, like, whole, like, gigantic world, and, like, right now he's still, like, very much kind of just in that forest area. Like, we haven't seen him branch out too much from there.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, like, him visiting more places or, like, getting introduced to, like, more different groups of people.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They've set a lot of pieces in motion, and honestly, they're doing a good job at managing all the moving pieces that are, you know, present. There's a lot of moving parts to this story, but it doesn't ever feel like it's an overwhelming number of moving parts.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think one part that I was really kind of, like, satisfied with, especially, was kind of the battle against, like, the ogres after the Kijin join, and they have to also, like, ally with the lizard people, because, like, there's so many different factions on there.
Now you're reminding me of the interesting fun guy that is Gabiru. Oh,
yeah. Yes, Gabiru.
Yep.
I don't know, I really love Gabiru. Oh god. But no, what I was saying, though, is that, like, you have a lot of different factions there that are kind of moving. Like, you also have that enemy faction behind the scenes that's trying to, like, create a new demon lord, too.
Yeah, and like,
the fact that it all kind of works together so well and converges on that, like, final battle is, like, really, like, satisfying and also surprising at the same time, that, like,
yeah,
it flows that well.
And at first you think it's, like, the great demon Gelmude who's, like, pulling the strings, but then it turns out he's on a string, too. It's just like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, he's actually small fry in the whole situation, actually.
Yeah. All he did was give that one orc a name, and just that orc became super powerful and had this, like, this unending hunger that made him more powerful as he ate. But, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I guess, like, talking about the orcs more, like, the other thing that was really cool is, like, his subordinate that I forget his name, but the guy who essentially becomes the leader of the orcs after Gelmude dies. Or was it Gelmude?
Gelmude was the creepy guy who got, who set things in motion. He wasn't the, he was the,
I forget what the big orc's name was.
Yeah, I don't remember the big orc's name either off the top of my
head. I just looked it up, it's literally just Orc Lord.
Well, that's why we don't remember it.
Thought he had a name, like, that's what the whole point was. He had a, like, a real name that wasn't just Orc Lord. Interesting.
Thought he did too.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it, I can't. But anyways, he is the Orc Lord.
Well, I guess...
Oh, no, wait, that's his class. His actual name is Geld.
Geld, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, but, like, Geld's subordinate that essentially becomes, like, the leader of the orcs afterwards, like, you can definitely see, like, he's very remorseful about everything, too, and, like, I love the scene where he's goes up to the Keys and he's like, There's no way, like, I can, like, make penance for anything. Like, if you want to, like, punish anyone, don't punish, like, my men. Punish me. Like, that scene was, like, really compelling. I really liked it a lot, especially because, like, the Kishin are just like, nah, we're allies now. Just, like, do your part. Like, it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the constant flowing of that theme of redemption and forgiveness. That's just another example of it. That's probably one of the biggest examples for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just constantly flowing that way.
One of the interesting things that this show does. So Rimuru is insanely, insanely powerful. Like, so powerful that even when he was in his slime form, people were detecting him as like this super powered, like godlike being.
Yeah.
And yet, every threat that he comes up against, every new threat that he comes up against is actually a challenge for him. Like, it's a new thing that he has to figure out how to overcome or outsmart or get around. Like whether it be through brute force or through fighting or through outsmarting or through just, you know, outwitting the political guy in the Dwarven City.
Yeah.
It's definitely... I definitely really like it because it, while presenting Rimuru as this infinitely powerful being, it definitely makes him work for his victories.
Yeah, and even as an all-powerful almost character, even he's got his limits. Like, when Malim shows up, he can't overpower, and he recognizes that immediately, and he has to use his wits.
The power of food.
The power of food. Hey, eat this, literally.
So he...
Please feed me Rimuru.
So, Malim is Beerus confirmed.
I mean, basically. I love how, like, they have that little, like, catchphrase with Rimuru where it's like, besties for resties.
Oh my god. Yes.
Yeah.
I love the use of pop culture phrases in the dub. They actually works really well.
Yeah, and he'll use these pop culture references and everyone will be like, what? Like, what? Excuse me? Except for, like, the people who are actually from Earth. Like, when he's like, I'm a good slime slurp, that's when he figures out that Shizu's from Earth, because she just snorts and has to hold back laughter.
Yeah, I believe, like, the ADR scriptwriter for this was Kristen McGuire, and I interviewed her, like, a long time back, and I remember, like, Slime was definitely one of those series that she put, like, a lot of thought into, like, making sure the dub script was really well. Like, I think she was, like, reading the manga and the light novels just to, like, prep for, like, the dub script. So, like, you can tell, like, there's a lot of love in the adaptation of it and really just kind of how all the dialogue flows.
Yep. And it's able to take itself seriously, but also not take itself seriously at the same time.
My favorite episode may well be the going through the series again with Veldora, which is not taking it seriously, and yet it still kind of does in its own silly way.
It has a good balancing act, for
Didn't
sure.
Didn't you teach,
like,
Veldora how to play chess?
Yes.
That's
great. Yeah, weren't they playing... Yeah, they were playing chess. Or shogi.
Yeah, they were playing shogi. Like, something.
I think Veldora was teaching the Ifrit that had gotten absorbed.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
That was really funny, especially because he's like, no, I'm not lonely. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh god, Veldora is such a gift, and I was so happy to see his perspective on all that stuff, because earlier he always made me laugh, and just seeing that in the end is a kind of a bonus. It was a good treat.
Yeah, but yeah, going back to the kind of whole like comedy and seriousness thing, I really do like that Slime does have that like solid balancing act. Like, it never gets too far away from kind of a nice middle ground, so that like it can go into more serious storylines if necessary, but it can also just have fun with everything as it goes, without like anything feeling like necessarily jarring about it.
I only watch this show in subtitles, so I can't comment on the dub personally.
Fair enough. I imagine the subtitle had its own humor to it and silliness, because a lot of it, there were a lot of visual gags and a lot of things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I watched like a good chunk of it subbed when it initially aired, before I just got busy and forgot about it. And like a lot of the humor is still there, like, I do like the kind of little things that the dub does to spice up the script, but the core comedy and the humor of it is still, like, there in kind of just the story itself. Like, that's not easily removable.
I love the dwarf whose only line is, mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, that guy.
I really love the dwarf storyline too. Like, I forget the head dwarf guy's name, but like, just how he like freaking like punches that the one like government official.
Yes.
When he's like dissing Rimuru, it's like, heck yeah, you do that.
I feel like we're running out of things to talk about. How about we like move to the? How many OVAs were there? Two? Like, one was like a beach day, right?
Yeah.
That ended up going weirdly wrong with like a sea monster thing.
Yeah, one was that, and the other one was the sumo one, I believe.
Yes.
Hey, but
they go from Hinomaru sumo to Keijo.
Oh my god, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a combination of the yes. Yeah, so my immediate thought when I saw the title was Keijo.
And in the end, they like the Keijo battles more than the sumo.
Yeah. Where they were fighting with their butts to push each other out of the ring. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, I actually like that one a lot. I also like the other one, mainly because it was talking about making a Rimuru plush, and that came out right around the time the Rimuru plush I had pre-ordered actually came out. So I wonder, I don't know if it's for sure, but it feels like it might have been a promotion for that.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it was probably, like, a merch promotion. Like, when it was coming out in Japan, it's like, oh, hey, let's have Rimuru make his own plushies.
I thought that was the Hey Butts one.
No, Hey Butts is the one where Rimuru has a really, 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 really bad dream about butts.
Yeah, that's the one where he tries to fall asleep, and it ends up being about butts.
Because I thought that was the one where the people were fighting over, the girls were fighting over him, so he's like,
That's the other one.
Yeah, that's the sea monster one.
Okay, well, I'm blending the two together then. But the sea monster one was also, it pushed the line sometimes.
It does.
It's like, it does. I've seen enough hentai to know where this is probably not going, though.
I love how, like, Rimuru gave, like, the dwarves all the designs, and, like, half the men got, like, super tight speedos.
Yes. Because everyone got to wear awkward swimsuits that day.
Yeah, and like they gave Rimuru like a schoolgirl like one piece swimsuit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's often hard to remember that Rimuru is a guy.
I mean, like, they mentioned that like technically his body's like non-binary, but yeah, he's still like a dude, I guess.
Yeah, they go through him like going through various different musculature choices before he ends up going where he goes.
Yeah.
He looks so much like Shizu, though, that it's just like, sometimes it's hard to forget, hard to remember. Like, I sometimes would catch myself saying, or like referring to Rimuru as she, and just like, wait, hold on. No.
Though it's certainly not stopping those Kijin girls from wanting to bone him.
Oh, yeah, they do play dress up with him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot if that was like in a dream.
Forget if, yeah, was that in his dream about butts, or was that in like one of the OVAs, or was
I think that
like,
was in the I think that was in like the OVA about with the tentacles in the beach.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'm starting to remember this, and it wasn't really a dream; it was like a real thing. And then he's like, "I need to." That's it. I'm giving you guys a plush of me.
Yep. So is that everything?
One other thing that I found funny about slime is that the openings are very misleading at times, I feel.
Yeah.
It's epic anime opening.
Yeah, especially like the first one. Like you have Rimuru fighting that swordsman at the end.
And we've never met that. Well, he shows up at the last second of the last episode.
Yeah, like she shows up at the very end of the series, but like it makes you assume like, okay, we're gonna see her like in this first like core, but nope, nowhere at all.
Yeah,
and then in like the second one, they make it seem like the demon lords are these super big bad guys, when none of them are really enemies to Rimuru,
except for one.
The song was so good, both of them.
Oh yeah, they're great. Intro. Yeah, sure.
I listened to the full versions of them on Spotify, and Terashima is so good.
Yeah, I really like them.
Apparently the guy, the human Rimuru, was the singer of the opening songs. The one.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think overall, it's just a very well-put-together show. And, like, I even started, like, reading a bit ahead in the light novels, too, and it's like, oh, dang. This is really good.
To do that. I may have to ask you where I can pick that up because I've been waiting for that season for a couple of years now.
Bookwalker Laser. Bookwalker.
Well, yes, I just need to know what volume to start on.
End of volume 4.
Ooh, we've only gotten through all 4 volumes. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it like stops like I think like a chapter and a half before like the end of the volume.
Fun stuff. But yeah, this definitely gets one of my highest recommendations as far as anime goes. I value it very highly.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who generally does not binge anime anymore, partly because of the lack of time, but also just like it's hard for me to sit down and just watch stuff. Like, I got through this show in 2 days.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen to anyone besides me, I think.
Yeah, like, it was, like, this and, like, Ascendance of a Bookworm that just, like, completely hooked me right away, and I just binged all the way straight through them. So, that's a testament to its quality.
Oh, yeah, no, like, this show hooked me immediately, and I remember just being, like, oh, it was, like, we're watching this it's the first thing I'm watching every Sunday.
Yep, when J-Mac comes and visits, it's like, okay, let's get that re-slime going.
Yes.
Re-slime and chill.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, just re-slime.
Yeah, just the re-slime, really, but...
If you want us to watch Bookworm Show, leave it in the comments below.
I mean, I have a feeling that we must watch Bookworm. Because Bookworm is amazing.
I did put it in my Verve queue, so J-Mac and I can watch it at some point.
It's so good. It makes you so happy and then depressed and then happy again. But I think we've probably drained our thoughts on Re-Slime. I mean, yeah. I think overall, Re-Slime's good. Go watch it.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just wait for the second season to come out, binge all of that with season 1, and you're all set.
Or watch now and just read the light novels.
Or watch now so you can actually listen to our podcast, you know.
Yeah. That too.
But if you've gotten to this point and haven't watched it, it's kind of your fault.
Yeah. We have ruined half the story for you, but that's okay.
It's all about the journey.
It is actually with the show, kind
of. It's one of those things you have to experience it. Like, you can't just have someone tell you about it for it to be really good. There are some stories where it's just like, if someone were to just tell me like the Cliff Notes version of this anime, I'd probably suffice. But that's one of slime is one of the ones where it's just like, no, you kind of have to experience it to really like it. Like, not, well, no, that's kind of a, you have to experience it to really experience it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd agree. But let's not dawdle. Let's get out of here. So, J-Mac, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at RealJMacAfreak. It's like my... it's the third Twitter handle I've had in a while, but, you know, just ignore that. It's alive and kicking. And then you can find me anywhere else on the internet as just JMacAfreak. I'm on TikTok, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Twitch. I do streams, I upload videos. Come check them out. Have a good time.
Awesome. And Laser, where can people find you?
People can find me at LaserKidPrime on Twitter. You can find some of my Toonami-flavored articles that I'm writing on Toonami Faithful, coming soon, trademark, once I actually get past the editorial process of, oh god, my writing's not as good as I think it is.
I think your writing's pretty good.
I try. I'm mostly giving myself motivation to get in and make it better.
Yeah, it's always hardest to get the motivation. But, Allison, where can people find you?
At meowfmymentors.com. I've been kinda dead because of school, but eventually I'll be back to clean the day 3 stuff, because episode 6, grind. Oh god. I don't even know when this podcast episode will be out, so maybe that post will be irrelevant, but right now, oh geez. Big grind times in the phone games, for sure. Where can they find you, V-Lord?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. I'm usually on there talking about whatever I'm doing, reading manga, and also not sleeping. So if you're interested in any of those, definitely go check out my Twitter. But you can also check out my manga and light novel focused reviews over on all-comic.com. And I also write Toonami related articles for Toonami Faithful. So check those out on ToonamiFaithful.com as well. Aside from that, I also host the Demon Slayer podcast, which all three of these fine folks have been on in the past. So go check that out on basically any podcast platform, and you can follow it on Twitter at DSlayerPodcast. But as far as the Dumb Weebs podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod, and you can find us on basically every podcast streaming platform as well. Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. So just look us up, subscribe, and enjoy our episodes. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
Don't die out there.
I'll try.
Too late.
Oh.
Rip everyone.
Rip everyone.